Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special, with some incredible offers every single week. Check out the website or app today. Terms and conditions apply. 18+ begambleaware.org.
Hello there and welcome to this Friday tipping postcast. I'm Maddie Playout and I'm joined in the studio by Keith Melrose, our betting editor. David Jennings is also on the line, as well as Connor Magnett, who is back for more after making his podcast debut last week. And it's last chance saloon then for Cheltenham trials. We're getting to that stage in the season where the last opportunity is coming up for trainers to get their preps into horses. And it's a good opportunity with an excellent card at Kempton, including the Adonis, the Dovecote, and a really valuable handicap chase as well. But there is something for everyone on this week's show, as the Winter Derby is a race we're going to look at Lingfield, as well as the Marathon, the Ida Chase at Newcastle. So stay tuned throughout for this weekend's tips. The first race we're going to look at is at 1:15. It's the first race on ITV, and it is the Betway Appendal Novices Steeplechase, a Grade 2 over 2 miles and 4 furlongs, and a race that Paul Nicholls has farmed in recent years with 6 of the last 10 winners. Can he do it again with Master Tommy Tucker?
You're right when you say, well, Nicholls dominates this race. I think he spots that it's maybe not quite as strong as sort of some. You know, the Scilly Isles comes just before this, and that's a Grade 1. This is a Grade 2, quite a valuable one. And, you know, the amount of ammunition he has with novice chasers is such that he can pick and choose in that sense. I was speaking to Paul Keighley about this beforehand, and I think a lot of this race comes down a little bit to what the ground's going to be like tomorrow at Kempton. Because if it comes up genuinely quite soft, Master Tommy Tucker is the one I'll be most interested in. And I think it will be on the soft side, despite what we're hearing from the track. It's just been so wet. And for all that Kempton drained really well, it would be miraculous to have genuinely good ground or something approaching it this weekend. Master Tommy Tucker, I think, has got probably that effort when he beats Who Dares Wins is maybe the strongest.
Who's reopposing as well.
He is reopposing. He's sort of blotted the copybook a little bit since. But what happened, it was 2 mile 2 that day, and Who Dares Wins is a really good flat horse, obviously. Master Tommy Tucker very much went toe-to-toe with him on speed and still came out on top against him. Fell in a Calto Star next time. He's one of these horses that jumps well until he doesn't. which, when they're a novice, you can let them away with it. But he jumped really well in the Calto Star. He just totally stepped it 4 out and came down. I think 2.5 is much more his trip anyway. I think he's a bit of a speed horse at the moment. And as I say, as long as the ground's sort of on the soft side, as we're anticipating, he's the one I'll be very interested in. If it is genuinely good, little word for Southfield Stone, but I think he's a real top of the ground horse. So maybe watch for him doing better in the spring.
Yeah, he's won at this card as well before. Master Tommy Tucker, in a word, do you think he would have won? It was a long way out at Kempton.
I don't think you could say he would have won. I think he would have been outstayed. To be quite honest, I think 2.5 miles is more his trip.
Okay, nice and straightforward. Connor, what price can we get about Master Tommy Tucker?
11-4 Master Tommy Tucker. The current favourite is at 9-4 is Comanche Red, 4-1 Southfield Stone, 9-2 Who Dares Wins, 13-2 Eric LaRouge, and 16 Spar.
Excellent. I'm a big fan of Comanche Red, but I'm not sure. I was expecting a bigger price, so maybe I'll hold off. DJ, what do you think of this? Are you siding with the graded performers, the lightly raced ones, or the handicappers? Because Eric LaRouge is in there as well.
Yeah, Master Tommy Tucker for me, Maddie. I've long been a fan of this horse. Keith hit the nail on the head with a lot of things there, to be honest with you. And what he summed up perfectly was Master Tommy Tucker's jumping. He's exuberant and he's flashy and he's a brilliant jumper. But when he gets one wrong, that's just it. He just falls because he crashes through it. His performance is nearly too dramatic for a chaser. But if he can tone it down a little bit and you know, just get in tight to a couple and get away from them, I think he has the makings of a top class chaser. I think he is a Grade 1 horse in the making. He was trading at about 15-8 when he fell in the Cottle Star Novice Chase. We don't know whether he would have stayed or not, but that's the way he needs to be ridden, because he's a kind of a front runner that bullies horses in races. And if he gets into a rhythm here around Kempton, I think he's going to be very, very hard to beat. I think it's a 2-horse race, and I think it's going to be a rivalry renewed from when he clashed with Who Dares Wins at the track earlier on in the season. I think it is between those two. I thought Comanche Red was impressive in that handicap at Kempton on the same day of on St. Stephen's Day. But I just thought that race fell apart. Roll again fell. He hampered Hold the Note. Simply the Bets absolutely hate it going right-handed. And I just think that race fell apart a little bit. And it made Comanche Red look a little bit more impressive than he was. Whereas I think Master Tommy Tucker is a proper Grade 1 performer in the making. So, hopefully he'll jump fine. And I think 11-4 is a great price.
Okay, so plenty of confidence behind Master Tommy Tucker then. Connor, just add your thoughts. Are you going to make it three votes for Paul Nicholls horse?
I will indeed. Master Tommy Tucker, he's clearly a horse who's found misfortune in his life. He's only had five starts and he's 9 years of age. His dam, Paul Nicholls trained No Need for Alarm. She was also an erratic performer, so he may have inherited that from her. But in terms of raw ability, he's the best horse in this race. He does jump quite well when he meets one correctly, and he should have class D's.
The 150 is the Weatherby's Cheltenham Festival betting guide, Adonis Juvenile Hurdle, a race that has produced Triumph Hurdle winners. Lately, Zarkandar, that was back in 2011. He went on to do the double. Do we think any of these are capable of this, DJ? Solo and Fujimoto Flyer are two that people seem to be quite keen on.
Yeah, an interesting race, and it often throws up, you know, a really good winner. I'm not convinced by the top two in the market here at all. Solo, first of all, while visually and on form, and when you'd see a 15-length win at Altai, and the way he was ridden that day, real aggressively out in front, was always clear. You kind of say to yourself, yeah, this must be a really good horse, obviously purchased for big money. But he jumped out to his right and he jumped very, very big. Now, whether that's the French style hurdles that made him jump so big, I don't know. But he gave his hurdles plenty of air. He jumped way out to his right at times. He was almost on the far rail. Now, obviously going right-handed at Kempton might suit better. But none of the horses from that Altai race that he won last time have won since. So the form hasn't worked out well. And the horse that beat him the first day, Stratagem, was bought for big money by David Maxwell. And he was really disappointing on his first start in Britain for David Maxwell. So I just have question marks at Solo. As regards Fujimoto Flyer, what people have to factor in here is he really refused to race last time when it went to Altai. It's not in the form because it was considered a non-runner on the day, but that just worries me a little bit about Fujimoto Flyer. A pal of mine actually that used to work in the Racing Post used to own him, and she's a very, very talented filly, and you know she really has an engine. I'd love to see her win him because I think she would have a chance in the Triumph, but just that little worry at the start just worries me a little bit. So for that reason, I'm going to chance Tremwedge for Alan King. He's won the race twice in the last 3 years with Radician and Master Blue Eyes. And I just go back to that piece of form with Cerberus, Joseph O'Brien Cerberus, in a Grade 3 when it was trained by Elle-Marie Holden in Ireland. Like, A Wave of the Sea was second that day. That has won a Grade 1 since. And Saint Daru was fourth, a couple of lengths behind Tremwedge. Saint Daru bolted up last Saturday at Goran Park. So that form stacks up. First run for Alan King behind Chantry House at Newbury. Just really, really keen. Couldn't get it settled at all. Just think a race like this probably, hopefully, will be more in its comfort zone. So at a big price, I'm going to chance Tremwedge.
So an outside chance from DJ then, Connor. What price can we get about Tremwedge?
Tremwedge is currently 12-1, fifth choice in the market. It's currently headed by Solo at 5-4. Next in, Fujimoto Flyer, 13-8. 11-2, Blame It on Sally. 9's Fantastic Miss Fox. 12's Tremwedge, as I said. And 33's Bar.
And your fancy is, Connor?
Yeah, I'd be pretty sweet on Fujimoto Flyer, to be honest. She was quite frustrating on the flat. I know they... She was well backed off 7-2 one day in Dundalk, and she finished at 8-9. But she's proved an absolute revelation since she's gone over hurdles. The Altai race she won at the end of last year has worked out quite well. I think the second horse has won 3 of her next 4 starts, including a grade two hurdle. I'd certainly have her ahead of the Paul Nicholls runner Solo, and I would expect her to win this race.
Okay, Keith, anything to add? I'm quite a big fan of Fujimoto Flyer. Be interested if she wins here and then goes on to the Triumph.
Yeah, and I think I am a fan of hers as well. I would just put in a note of caution about the Triumph because I think she's nuts. And going to the Triumph...
Said succinctly.
Going to the Triumph hurdle after this, you know, these young horses, first day of the last day, Gold Cup day, she wouldn't be the first to boil over, would she, in those circumstances? But I am a big fan of hers. For fans of race replays, I would recommend get yourself registered on the France Gallo site because I was able to watch both these races at Solo and Fujimoto Flyer ran in last time this morning. And Solo's a
chase. Is that easy to do? Register yourself?
It's free, as long as you can understand a few words in French. You know, Courrier is his email address, I think. And that's mot de passe is unsurprisingly password.
There we go.
As long as you can get that sorted, you can do the rest. Chevaux's horse. Horses, that's a good one to know
there
as well.
You go. Anyway, no excuses but, for anyone.
So does a chaser. I watched that run last time. The way French races tend to be run, they tend to crawl, 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 sprint. It's almost uniform. And for that reason, to blast off 10 lengths clear and maintain that isn't anywhere near as impressive as what Fujimoto Flyer did, which was sprint and put 9 lengths into them from the last, which is exactly what she did. It's a far more impressive thing in a given French race to do that, and Connor has mentioned the collateral form lines there that have come out of that race. The hood's on, I'm not surprised. We've already been over this, but I think she's a really, really talented horse. I think Solo's one for next year. He jumps like a chaser. He's with Paul Nicholls. He looks to have a bit of size off the telly. Next year, I'll be all over Solo for lots of good races, but tomorrow, or on Saturday, Fujimoto Flyer for me.
Okay, and sticking with the speed theme then, the Betway Kingway Hurdle has been rescheduled, of course, from Wincanton. And quite a muddling race this, Connor. Who comes out on top in your market at the moment?
Yeah, it's changed since last week where Kel Lastan, who's been rerouted to Fontwell. So the current market is Chidabello 2-1, 5-2 Song for Someone, 3-1 Elgin, 11-2 Diego de Charmille, who's taken his Kel Lastan's place in the race, 12 Zambella, and 16 is Outsider Quick Grab'em.
Excellent. What do you make of this, Keith? How do we sum these up? Because they're not going to be troubling the judge in even an open champion hurdler, are they?
I wouldn't have thought so. This race is, given what it looked like being, possibly quite disappointing. Chitabello is favourite, and I thought on Boxing Day we saw that this is a little bit sharp for him. You know, this is a horse that finished close up in an entry hurdle. His best 2 mile forms around Cheltenham. Kempton's just a touch sharp, I think, for him. And he's the only genuinely grade 2 performer in here, apart from Elgin, if he's fit. We're going to have to just leave him to one side, I think, Elgin.
You wouldn't consider him at all with that big absence.
How can you? You know, unless you want to put real faith in Alan King telling you today's the day, chaps, and we're going to have a go. That would maybe sway me a little. But apart from that, you just leave him aside. And if he wins, you take it on the chin and move on. I think there's enough of a scope to take Diego de Charmille here. Now, he is a funny old so-and-so. we all know about that. It was about a week's worth of news in November, wasn't it? But he is actually surprisingly reliable over fences, and his chase form, if you translated it directly, which we know is not how it works, he would be £11 clear on the ratings, and you can back him at 11-2 here. He's got form over fences around Kempton. He's a sharp, nippy sort who will suit this sort of track. So, you know, if he can, well worth in a race like this where you've only got one high 150s horse and the rest are maybe low 150s. Mm. You've got a 165 chaser here, who you could just take a chance on being within £10 of that sort of market, 11-2 over hurdles, and you've got yourself a really good bet, 11-2. So I wouldn't be going mad, but he's the one I'd be having a little tickle with.
Okay, that's quite interesting. It is a race where I think, you know, you'd be forgiven for taking a bit of a flyer on one, DJ. Who are you siding with?
I'm going to do the complete opposite to what Keith said here. I'm very sweet on Elgin. Keith is saying leave him to one side, and I can kind of understand where he's coming from, because obviously the horse has been off for a very, very long time. But I said last week going into Wincanton, if you go back to Alan King's stable tour in the Racing Post in November, there was only one race mentioned when it came to Elgin. He says, yes, he's been off for a long time. Yes, he's had problems, but the one race you want to get him back for is the Kingwell in February. He won the race 2 years ago when he gave £5 to Chitabello. He's now getting £4 from Chitabello. There's a £9 turnaround in the weights. He's just simply a better horse than Chitabello, I think. He's gone perfectly well fresh in the past. He won when he won the race 2 years ago. I think it was after a 2 month absence. And you know, he hasn't won, but has gone well fresh in the past. He's had a wind operation. And I think this is just a blatant case of him being the most talented horse in the race. Obviously, the layoff is a worry. But if he has been targeted at this race, and we know he's gone well fresh before, and we know he's at a wind up, to me, that's perfectly fine. And 3-1 is perfectly fair.
Okay. I think we had this conversation on last week's show, but Perfect Harmony won off a mammoth layoff for Alan King as well. So if you can do it with any horse, it's probably Elgin. I think I backed him for a champion hurdle, you know, a couple of years ago. It's not a great bet in hindsight.
He ran well. He was fifth to Bouvard there. Ran perfectly fine. Wasn't beaten that far. He's beaten about a dozen lengths. I think he's the best of these. I really do.
2018 Elgin would have a right chance in this year's, in the 2020 champion hurdle, wouldn't he, to be fair?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll see. Connor, then, just finalise. Who do you fancy in this confusing Kingwell hurdle?
Yeah, I think the only strong view in Hammond races, you've got to take on Chidabello over the course and trip. Last week, at the Wincanton version, I was quite sweet on Song for Someone. But the more I listen to DJ talk about Elgin, I think it is a case if he's ready, he'll win. At 3-1, he's probably worth taking a chance.
Okay, so Elgin, two votes, not worried about the big absence. The Dovecot Hurdle is the next race we're going to look at. The Skybet Dovecot Novices Hurdle, again, another grade two. Not a race historically that's had much impact on the Supreme Novices Hurdle at Cheltenham. Flown was the last horse to go on and win that in 1992, so it's been a while. But there are some talented horses in here, Keith, in West Cork, and particularly I'm a big fan of Highway 102.
Yes, Highway 102 has, I mean, he's been running at Plumpton, but it has been impressive in how he's done it. He's another one I think is going to be more for chasing next year. And while Plumpton and Kempton are both sharp sort of tracks, the way he's gone out and bossed these races at Plumpton, I would doubt you'll get to do that in a Dovecot.
Okay.
So, you know, I really do respect his chance, but I do try and have a look. He would probably be my next best in, actually. The one that I don't have a particularly strong view in the race, but I was taken by the way Benson went through the race at Sandown.
Yes, that's an angle I think quite a few people are going to take.
Absolutely. I mean, the thing is, you on what he did until two out, you'd think he would be favourite for this, but it's what he did at two out.
Do you put that down to? Just the horse being a bit of a rogue?
It was his hurdling debut, wasn't it? You've got to give a little bit of credit where it's due for that. And he was pulled wide of the other runners as well. You know, this is a very inexperienced horse running on its own, essentially. They've taken the view to go on that near side. And I think you can forgive it this time. If he makes a habit of it, then quickly condemn him. But I just thought that if he'd finished anywhere but last in that race, he would probably be the form pick in this. As things stand, and you can back him. I've seen around 6-1. I don't know what Paddy Power's odds are, but I thought in a race where I didn't have a particularly strong view and Highway 102 is as short as I'd like to see him, I would probably be inclined to have a little go on Benson.
Yeah, I think quite a few people are going to be taking that view, given that was a classy race, the Contenders Hurdle last time. Connor, just remind us what price we can get about all of these.
Yeah, the field started by Buzz at 7-4. Next in Highway 102, 7-2. West Cork, 9-2. Benson, 11-2. 8-1, Bear Park, Savola. 10s, Kick Commando, and 16-1, Bar.
Brilliant. DJ, are you going to be agreeing with Keith? Do you think it's worth taking on the Keen Highway 102?
I was impressed with Highway 102, but I just don't know if this is the right race for him. I thought Buzz was very, very solid favourite here. It's two hurdling runs. If you look at his form lines, you see that he won by a neck both times, but that doesn't really tell the whole story either time. I thought it won more impressively at Taunton on its hurdling debut, and last time at Doncaster, that was a fair performance. Glory and Fortune is rated 135. They're on level weights. Glory and Fortune got a freebie up front. The hurdles in the home straight were omitted because of low sun, and Buzz always looked to have his measure the whole way up the straight. And it was quite a canny ride by Jeremiah McGrath, because he always just sat on his tail, and then just pounced to get up and win by a neck. To me, that was a 140 performance. And I think if you run to 140 here, I think it'll probably be good enough. He's a classy flat performer, rated 96. So to me, I think he ticks all the boxes. He's not a great price at 7-4, but I think Buzz will win.
Okay, Connor, do you agree?
I probably disagree. I think it's similar to the previous race. I think there's definitely an angle to take on the favourite in this race. My own personal fancy is West Cork. He was an Irish point-to-point winner, and he was very well touted for his stable debut in Wetherby in October, where he got turned over at 6-5. He got beat again in his next start, but those were both over 2.5 miles. And as it turns out, the form of those races worked out really well. And Warwick, he was second to Esquire de Rome. He was rated 1-4-3 now, I think. And he's won both starts since. He won at Huntington the last day, possibly wins from a pace meltdown when Mr. Coffee went too quick in front. But I do think he's a very talented horse, and I think he can definitely go very close tomorrow.
Okay, so largely so far, the approach has been to take on these favourites. Let's see what the lads think of the 3.35. It's the Betway Handicap Steeplechaser Grade 3. No favourite in the last 10 years has won, and 5 of the last 10 winners have all been double figures. So there is scope if you fancy one at a big price. And Keith, I know that you're keen to look more towards the bottom of the market.
I am, not because of those trends you point out. You've done more research than I have there, but it's not why I sort of fancy these sort of outsiders. I think there's a case for taking on a lot of the one prominent in the market, Just a Sting being a really good example. I think he's a really funny horse in that.
Why? What's so funny about him?
Well, he's a scorpion for a start.
It's in the name.
He does actually show the traits. You know, he is a horse that tends to idle a little bit when he gets to the front. Sean Bowen had to really be on his game to get him up in this race. on, it wasn't Boxing Day, it was Desert Orchid Day. You know, he's only gone up £3, which people are going to look and say, oh yeah, that's perfectly fine from a handicapping point of view. It's not the mark that's the issue with Justice Now. So the ones that I sort of like at the bigger prices, the race, the real trend that I think in this race that sticks up is how well prominent racers do.
Okay.
You know, go right back to Desert Orchids, but more recently you'd have Nakarat and Cairns, and last year even Double Shuffle, who I give a bit of a chance to. He made most of the running until Walt picked him up. The one that might be most likely to make the running here, I think, is Dashing Perk, because Highway 101 has Leighton Aspill on him. Now, Jamie Moore would be desperate to be in front, but Leighton Aspill, just their styles, you know.
That's he's a more patient rider.
He is a more patient rider than Jamie Moore, who tends to take races by the scruff of the neck. And I think Dashing Perk has made the running on over shorter distances on his last two starts, both around Sandown. The first one was a win in what's turned out to be quite a good novice handicap chase. Paint the Dream was second, Burbank was fifth. My Way, a horse that hasn't improved off that yet, but will one day. But he needs soft ground, as My Way, I think. That's a really strong race. And then the next time, he finished second to Mercy Mercy Me. Now that race, they went far too hard. There was a Maxwell horse, whose name I forget, that contested the pace with Dashing Perk all the way. And they finished, I think, at 91% from the pond fence, I clocked it as, which is slow, even for Sandown.
Yeah, explain that to us. So what exactly does that mean?
So the most basic way that if I see how a race pans out and I think I'll need to double check what's happened there, mm-hmm. you can, as long as you know the distance from a certain fence to the line and use that, time that section and compare it with the overall race time, you can get a measure of how that segment was run, that sectional was run compared to the overall race. Mm-hmm. And if they've run from three out to the line at 91% of the overall race speed, that's finishing very slow.
Very
obviously,
slow, yeah.
The most evenly run race in the world, it's 100%. At Sandown with the hill, you'd expect maybe 97-ish, but 91 is slow.
So they went particularly fast in that race and it all fell apart.
Basically, and he did very well to finish second in a race that is actually quite strong form again. He is quite a lightly raced horse, which, you know, given he's had a hard race, is a very slight concern. But he's had 7 weeks, so I'm less concerned about that than I would be. And I think he is the one I would pick out at those prices. Brief mention for Samessa Gall and Creve, even Creve Hill as well, who I think he went up that nest of vipers at the inside of Ascot last time, didn't he? Nothing was making ground up the inside of Ascot last day. Before that, he'd look good at Haydock, so I wouldn't rule him out either. But look at the double figure odds is what I'd say in this race, and Dashing Perk's the one I've landed on.
Yeah, prominent racing then, the key for Keith. Connor, what price can we get on Dashing Perk and the remainder of the field? This is a really competitive handicap.
Yeah, Dashing Perk is 12-1, one of the outsiders at the moment for this race. The field's headed by Adrian Dupont, 5-1. Justice Singh is 6-1. The other Nicholas runner, Black Horton, 7-1. 15-2, Dysart. 8-1 Double Shuffle, who is a decent record around Kempton. 8-1 Watmore and 10-1 Barr.
Superb. I have sort of mixed allegiances in this race. I quite like Watmore. Thought he was very eye-catching last time, but maybe not being the prominent racer, I'm not sure this will be his day. And Talk is Cheap, I like him as an outsider for the Grand National, so I hope he'll run well. Connor, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, it's a very competitive race. Probably he may not be a horse for the course, but I do think Mr. Malarkey can come back to form shortly. He ran pretty well in Newbury in the Hennessy or the Ladbroke Trophies all these days, and he probably ran back very quickly at Ascot. He's had 63 days off since. John Joe O'Neill Jr. gets on quite well with the horse. I thought he could run well if the conditions prove testing on Saturday.
Okay, that's interesting. Yeah, it's going to be a sort of a time issue, isn't it? How long is it going to be before Mr. Malarkey bounces back? And DJ then, so two quite big price horses been put up so far. Are you going to side with them and pick one at a big price?
No, but it's a good shout by Keith. I can certainly see where he's coming from with Dashing Perk. I think the horse of David Maxwell's was Chef to Keep, because I remember that day, I'd say it was so frustrating if you're on Dashing Perk, because it was just like every time there was a chance to kind of quicken the pace again, or a chance to get a kind of a breather. Chef to Keep didn't give him a chance at all. So I could certainly see him running well. I think 12-1 is a big price. But to be honest, I've thought all season that this was Adrian Dupont's race. I really have. It looks like he's just had one target and one target only this season. Like, he was third in the race last year off a mark of 151. He was only seven. He's eight now. He's £6 lower running off a mark of 145. I thought at Ascot last time he ran much better than the distance he was beaten suggests. Like, he wasn't far behind Riders of the Storm at second last, and then Harry Cobden didn't give him a hard time once he knew his chance had gone. You can forget his run before that at Ascot when nothing went right when he was pulled up, but it might be a blessing in disguise that he ran so poorly in those two starts, because he's now ridiculously well handicapped. There's no way this is a 145 horse. He's better than that. He's a winning form around Kempton. He beat Justice Sting there at the Christmas meeting 2 years ago. And if you even go back to this horse's hurdles form, if you remember, he's the one who got the race at Chepstow when Skull Royal was demoted from first to second. So he's got good back form. He's not 145 rated chances. So if he jumps well and things go according to plan, I think he could win this. And I think he could win this quite easily if things go according to plan. So Adrian Dupont for me.
Nice confident selection there from DJ. Adrian Dupont, a very well handicapped horse. He's going to need things to go his way from behind, but I think the case is an excellent one. We'll take a quick break now before we talk about the Ida and also the Winter Derby, so stay tuned.
So, does an each-way bet mean that my horse has to do part of the race in reverse?
Everyone loves a newbie. That's why Paddy Power Games are giving all new customers 60 free spins on daily jackpot games. New Paddy Power Games customers only. One per customer. T's and C's apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back to this Friday Tipping Postcast, and we're going to try and find you some more weekend winners. Now we're going over to Newcastle, where the Vertem Ida Handicap Chase is staged. This is due to be a real slog, a marathon contest over an extended 4 miles. Connor, run us through your market.
Yeah, as you mentioned, it is very tight at the top of the market. We have three horses, 5-1 Calypso Colons, Hedy Power and Hugo and Taz, 6-1 very first time, 7-1 Prime Venture, 9-1 Glittering Love and Honest Delight, and 11-1 Bear.
Excellent. DJ, what's your approach to a race like this?
Oh, I don't really like it, Maddie. I like watching it. I went through the race last night and then again this morning, and there's just so many horses you can make a case for on their day. If they're on a going day, they have massive chances. And there was very few I could rule out, even though some of them have the potential to throw in a stinker. The one I'm going to side with, but this is like, obviously I think Elgin, Master Tommy Tucker, Adrian Dupont, I have strong fancies at Kempton, but this is not a strong fancy at all.
Okay.
But it's a tipping show and we have to give a selection. So I'm going to go for Top Weight Prime Venture, because I think the best piece of form in the race is probably that fourth in the Welsh National at Chepstow. He's only £1 higher now. Isabel Williams takes off 7. So I just think if things go according to plan for Prime Venture, who doesn't win as often as he should, I think he'd be bang there, and he's an each-way price. So not with any great confidence, but Prime Venture for me.
Okay. I think Tom Siegel on the Monday show was saying a lot of people look at a race like this and presume you need horses that have light weights on their back, but historically that's not always been the case. So that will help DJ out on Prime Venture.
Probably will, yeah. I mean, the bottom weight's 10-8. As well, so you know, it's not because the ceiling's so low this year. You've not got many horses of feather weights, particularly. I thought it is basically a 0-135 this race. The top rated is 136, and obviously you get into 135s now. Thanks a bunch to Paul Keeley for a start. He's taken all the value on Calypso Colange, who, if I had to name the likeliest winner, it would be him.
Okay.
My bet in this race will be I'll have a little bit on Donner's Delight. And my main bet will be on, I think, one of the outsiders, Financial Outcome. Both those horses I've mentioned, if you could set them off going around the race course, they'd get dizzy before they got tired. They absolutely will. They will stay as far as you want. Donna's Delight got his first go at 3 mile 3 last time at Ayr, won, got back in form. And Financial Outcome, the first time he got past 3 miles was 2 mile 6 at Doncaster, won on his ear. Last time, you'll have seen the clip, no doubt, of Lorcan Williams under his belly at Uttoxeter. That was spectacular. And yes, he did very well to still finish within 12 lengths of the first two, given that. But also consider that, you know, that was actually quite a good race for the grades.
Mm.
Big Nasty had been waiting for a go at 3 miles and run very well. And the winner too, he had been a progressive horse. That was quite a good race. He probably would have won it if he hadn't belted that fence and nearly unshipped his rider. And he gets in here off the same mark. Don't ask me whether he'll stay, because I think he'd stay 5 miles easily. horse that really, really wants a slog and at a pretty big price. I thought he was certainly, if you say one to have a bet on, it would be him. But as I say, I'll have a little bit on Donner's Delight as well.
Okay, so spreading around the stakes then. This is a tricky one, isn't it, Connor? What do you think?
Yeah, I'd agree with Keith on Donald Delight. On his return after a wind-up last time, he went off mark 115 in air. And he's 6 months higher, it's still below his career best. And this horse is slow, very, very slow, which is what you need for a race like this. He also should be able to race prominent, get into rhythm. I think this is, like Paddy Power paying four places in this race, I think this is definitely a horse to keep on side in the four places. Okay. It's going to come home. It should stay out of the race very well, and I can't see too many finish in front of it.
Okay, so from one extreme to another, a very different scenario is the Betway Winter Derby, the Group 3 over a mile and two furlongs at Lingfield. Some really classy horses in this, principally Bangkok, who was second at Royal Ascot in the King Edward the 7th Stakes, and he was really impressive last time out. Also, Dubai Warrior, a horse that, of course, Frankie Dettori will be aboard for John Gosden. He's been very interesting throughout his career. That combination won last year with Wissahickon at a very short price. DJ, I'll go to you first on this one. How do you summarise the field?
I just thought Dubai Warrior was a little bit more value than Bangkok. I thought Courthouse is obviously the key form line here because both of them beat Courthouse on their most recent starts. But I thought Dubai Warrior was beat Courthouse just as convincingly as Bangkok did. Yes, he was getting £2, but I thought they probably should have been a little bit closer together in the market. I wouldn't be shocked if Bangkok won, but does he deserve to be so short? Probably not. I think Dubai Warrior is just your typical all-weather specialist. This could be his time of year, and I just about side with him over Bangkok.
Okay, so he's siding with more potential over proven form. Where would you go with this one?
Well, I'm not sure Bangkok has got the sort of proven form. I thought his form on the turf last year was muck, to be quite honest.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, second to Japan, yeah, that's one thing, but there was nothing behind him. Mm. But that said, I wouldn't generally
better
have a...
Better than Dubai Warriors.
Well, it would be. Well, Dubai Warrior is that sort of Gosden slow burner, isn't he, who's coming through in stages. And I have seen the total performance data figures because I'll be writing about the Winter Derby for tomorrow's paper. And they tell you much what you'd expect, that Bangkok is probably the horse better equipped to deal with 10 furlongs round Lingfield and that slingshot off the bend that they have compared with Dubai Warrior, who will probably want a little bit further in time. So yes, Dubai Warrior is improving. I wouldn't be at all surprised if he ends up higher rated than Bangkok, but you stick the two of them around 10 furlongs at Lingfield and I think you've got to make Bangkok favourite.
Okay, horses for courses then. Connor, do you have a strong opinion on that race?
I think it's been pretty fairly summed up there. Bangkok's our 8-11 favourites, 15-8 Dubai Warrior. I probably, despite the price, I do think Bangkok's going to win this race. He should have too many guns for Dubai Warrior. Difficult to see any others being a threat.
Okay, we're going to go over to Fairy House now, and the 402 is the Bobby Joe Chase, a Grade 3 over 3 miles and one furlong. And historically, this race has provided us with some Grand National clues, and former winners are in here, so we could well see repeat of 2017 when Pleasant Company won, or 2018 when Bells Hill won. But there are some similar types in there as well. DJ, tell us more about this race and maybe the history to do with the Grand National, because lots of horses have gone on to contend it after winning this, haven't they?
Yeah, obviously, Raf Finden won the race last year, beat Alfred Zobo, so that's pretty strong form. Pleasant Company won it in 2017. He was just beaten in the National. And when you go through, like, Prince de Beauchene, Vic Venturi, Roy Demy, Boston Bob, and Bells Hill, who's back. Bells Hill won this race in 2018 and went on to win the Punchdown Gold Cup that year and should have won the Irish National, but he tried to refuse at the last. He's probably the key horse here, is Bells Hill, because he's been a bitter disappointment this season. Like this time last year, he was third favourite for the Cheltenham Gold Cup. Ruby Walsh rode him over Album Photo and Kenboy in the race. So it's a spectacular fall from grace from Bells Hill. The only thing is, like his two runs this year at Leopardstown in the Savills Chase and in the Irish Gold Cup, proper grade ones where there was real depth to the races. They're probably going to go a little bit slower here. He's going to be in his comfort zone on the ground because it's much softer ground. I do think he's a better horse on deep ground. He's down to a mark of 163. And I just wonder, in Willie Mullins' head, this horse should have won the Grand National a few years ago, the Irish Grand National off 158. I wonder, in his head, is he thinking, we're going to make up for what happened in that race 2 years ago? I wonder, is the Irish Grand National the ultimate aim for Bells Hill this year? Because it's going to be key for Willie Mullins in the Irish trainer's title as well. So that just worries me a little bit about Bells Hill. I think he's the best horse in the race. He's got his ground. He's more in his comfort zone here. But I'm just wondering if this mightn't be the day for him. And the one I'm taking him on with is Acapella Bourgeois from the Willie Mullins stable as well. Now, he's got a bit to do on ratings, But I do think he goes well at Fairy House. He was third in the Irish Grand National last year to Borough Saint. Then he was second to Album Photo in that race at Tremor New Year's Day. He just didn't jump well in the Thiestes. He was well fancied. He was only a 6-1 shot for that Paul Townend rode them. But if he does just get into a decent rhythm here, Danny Mullins rides him, I think this could be the day for Acabella Bourgeois.
Okay, nicely summed up there from DJ. A horse I used to love, I'm pretty sure he used to run in this race, Black Appalachee. Yeah, he was an absolute superstar. Anyway, I digress. Keith, some quite similar sort of horses in this, that they were very classy, but they've gone a bit downhill.
Well, yes, and I think that's possibly the key to it, but we'll get on it in a second. The real difficulty with this race, I find, is because it's such an established national trial, Irish or Grand National, that it's all about judging their state of readiness a lot of the time, rather than where their actual form. And but when it comes to recent form, obviously Bells Hill has the back class. He's done, DJ might be right, but he's done a very good impression of a regressive horse this year, hasn't he?
very, very convincing.
Yeah, quite a convincing impression for me. But I thought one of the best but recent pieces of form actually was Alpha Des Obo, third in the Beecher, off 159. You know, quite a hefty
good
mark.
Performance.
Yeah, it was. And you know, he was second in this race to Rathenden last year. That day he carried all the penalties. He was 11-8. This year he has no penalties. 11-0. He's in a much better set of conditions with himself. He doesn't have a Rathenden in there, and has obviously run very well on his most recent start. The question is, obviously, the Beecher is in early December. To what extent is this horse being lined up for Aintree or Fairy House? That's the question to answer. But if he's fit for this, I think he'll go very close.
A horse who, high-profile bleeder, I think we can say, but he's still been very high-class and quite consistent for one, hasn't he, Keith? So, I think maybe this could be his day. We'll find out. Connor, what do you think? Alpha Des Obo, do you agree?
I do, yeah. Just on Bells Hill, like the last time this horse won was the 2019 Savills Chase at the Dublin Racing Festival. On that day, a lot of horses were pulled out due to the ground. Only four went to post, and Bells Hill won that race over Road to Respect. I'm wondering, has he been feeling it since? Because he hasn't lifted a leg since. A lot of horses have never appeared since that DRF meeting. He's ran four times and been deplorable each and every occasion. So Alpha Des Obo, yeah, he looks like he's, like, there's no coincidence this race attracts Grand National types because it comes out after the weights. It fits in nicely. Todd Alpha Des Obo showed plenty in his run at Aintree in November, and obviously ran excellent behind Rathenden here last year. So he'd be my selection. Acabella Bourgeois, if he can get jumping together, would be the danger.
Okay, so you can see where DJ's coming from then. Stick with us and we'll clarify those naps and also talk about some of the good quality action on Sunday.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week and you'll get a free £10 bet then next week. T&Cs apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back to the final instalment of this postcast. And before we start talking about Sunday and get those naps, Keith, you have a fancy elsewhere on Saturday.
Yes, I do. I mean, I always like to find one. And the Newcastle 4:30, the race, not long after, I think it's the next chase after the Eider. It's quite competitive. You've got horses like Pano Chocolat in there, who is handicapped now to strike. Bolognese, who shaped very well on his return, but it was only 3 weeks ago, could be a bit of a bounce candidate. Protective Flow, Barry Geraghty's up riding Protective Flow. But the one that I've picked out is a Paddy Pie. Would have been second to Charmant last time at Weatherby. He looked just second best when he fell three out. It was a bit of an unlucky fall. That was 19 furlongs at Weatherby, 2.5 miles plus at Newcastle when bad ground will suit him better. Nice positive ride. He's a very well handicapped horse, and I just thought he was one that really jumped out at me on the sort of lesser chases that were going around on Saturday.
Okay, DJ, we're going to talk about an excellent card in Ireland on Sunday, but before we do, anything to add on Saturday?
Yeah, 4:37 at Fairy House, a horse called Sizing Potsy. That's trained by Jessica Harrington, ridden by Robbie Power. Ran against Mellon in a beginner's chase at Leopardstown over Christmas. Before that was third to Captain Guinness, which is quite strong form, obviously, supreme contender Captain Guinness. I just think it's really, really interesting that Jessica Harrington is persistent with chasing, because we're now into the second half of February. It's late in the season to be running beginner's chases, so she obviously thinks he's a decent jumper and she might be targeting something at the Punchdown Festival. So Sizing Potsy in the 4:37 at Ferris should be a different class to Dakota Moret.
Okay, and Connor, anything elsewhere on Saturday?
Yeah, and the 3:27 at Fairy House, Birdie Blitz for Aidan Etting Howard. this mare, she's shown a nice bit of ability in her maiden hurdles and two handicap starts today. She finished third last time, and I think she's queued up to deliver tomorrow.
Superb. Now let's go on to the Irish action at Naas on Sunday, DJ. There's a couple of graded races. What takes your eye?
Yeah, this is a great card, sponsored, of course, by our good friends at Paddy Power. One that I'm really interested in. Now, this is a disaster because I love liking these horses and you really shouldn't like them. But Mount Leinster runs in the 3.10. It's the grade two novice hurdle. And Mount Leinster was obviously beaten last time by Asterior Furlong at the Dublin Racing Festival. Now, he's a bit of a headbanger. He can be keen and he can throw in terrible jump in this place. And I thought it was testament to his ability that he was even able to get himself into contention in that grade one at Leopardstown last time. Now, I think this horse has loads of ability. I think even if he turned up in a Supreme, he could actually run well. He's 50, 66 to 1 in that. But he's got ability. I'm sure of everything in this race that he potentially has the most ability. Now, Andy Dufresne runs here. He's carrying 11-10. He's got the greatest penalty. So Andy Dufresne is given Mount Leinster £6. If Mount Leinster jumps well, I don't think Andy Dufresne could give Mount Leinster £6. So I'd be pretty sure if Mount Leinster jumped well that he'd be able to win this. In the opening race, it's the grade three chase. The favourite is likely to be probably maybe Hardline, who's been a little bit disappointing. He's rated 160, but I'm going to give Articulum another chance. He's actually a really good jumper, and he's got form figures of FUF, which is hard to believe. But I thought he was in the process of running a big race at Leopardstown last time in a big handicap chase. Kevin Bruder takes the ride. If he does get into a good rhythm and jumps well, I think Articulum might be able to win the 2.10. And just one other one for you in the 3.40, the Panoramic Restaurant handicap hurdle. I think Pasley is well handicapped off a mark of 118. So if there's a bit of money for that, Pasley, I think, can win the 3.40.
Okay, Keith.
DJ, yeah, I was going to ask something about Naas because I'm not as well up on my Irish racing as my British. How much jumping does it tend to take? Is it a stiff jumping track?
Fences. Yeah, it's a funny one. There's two fences in the home straight, obviously. That's fine. They're uphill. They do have their high-profile fallers and footpad fell at the last there a couple of years ago. But there's three fences in a row kind of on the side before you turn into the home straight.
Yeah.
And that really seems to sort them out. It's not one you'd send a dodgy jumper to, put it that way.
Okay.
Why do you ask?
The reason I asked it, so I've looked at that race and it's the only one away bet I sort of looked at on Sunday, was there's a price at which I would probably back Ornua. His asset really is his jumping. And if it had been softer fences at Naas, I would have been a bit less off-put by that now. Ornua's been running in grade ones most of the time, and when he ran in a handicap, he was held up. That's not him. He likes to bowl on. He gets his head in front and jumps, and we've seen him do it around Sandown a lot, obviously, in this country, just not quite good enough for grade ones. I thought there was quite a few in there that certainly not putting up grade one level opposition. And as with just about every Henry de Bromhead horse, he jumps really, really well. And if it's a track where, you know, I understood Naas to be, I didn't have it as one way or t'other particularly. Mm-hmm. If it was a track where you can really put them under pressure with jumping, I'd be all the sweeter.
Okay, Connor and Cena's Paddy to fancy this card. Sponsor this card. Have you got any fancies?
Yeah, two in the handicaps in the 2.40. Countess Kathleen creeps in at the bottom of the weights in a 2.5 mile novice handicap chase. I think the handicapper has been very lenient on her. He's basically given her hurdles mark, but I think she looks to be a much better chaser. She's quite impressive. Berry House last time in her rated chase. This step of 2.5 is going to prove to be a help to her, I would suspect. She loved the ground and she's got a good claimer taken off her, so she's going to be carrying under 10 stone. And in the 4.40, Goodbye Someday, I think this is another horse who looks quite well handicapped. He's been a bit of a slow burner for his trainer, John Kiley, but off a mark of 109, I can see him winning a couple of races before the end of the season.
Okay, so a couple of those races at Naas may well have Cheltenham implications then. One that maybe won't is at Fontwell on Sunday. It's the National Spirit Hurdle, a grade two. Lots of graded action this weekend. Thomas Darby, he was muted as a bit of an outsider for the Champion Hurdle, but maybe they're not going to go this way. Takes on Marshall Lecoq, Keldestan, William Henry, Chesterfield. DJ, any thoughts on this race?
No, I did my first Cheltenham preview with Paul Keeley there earlier this month, and he was putting up Thomas Darby for the Champion Hurdle. So I thought that was quite interesting. He's rated 158, doesn't have that much to find on the ratings. I think Epitone's rated 159. look, you'd imagine he should be up to winning this. He's a classy horse, and I think he should beat Keldestan. Like, he's rated £2 higher than Keldestan, and they're off level. So, yeah, Thomas Darby, but he won't be a big price.
Okay. Anything to add?
Not particularly. I also fancy Thomas Darby. I'm not sure 19 furlongs around Fontwell and bad grounds what Keldestan wants. Thomas Darby would be much more like it.
What's with the 19 furlongs today?
I tell you what, it's from an old habit and an old job I used to have. You would always, the style was not 2 mile 3F, the style was 19F. Instead, you would, if it was a quarter mile, you would do it like that. But if it was in between quarter miles, you would do it like how many furlongs? So it's 21F, 23F.
We don't want to send anyone asleep with our.
No, exactly. Sorry, style point corner. No, I fancy Thomas Darby. The point I was going to make about Thomas Darby just to add is the last two runs over hurdles, he didn't really take defences, but either side, his last two runs over hurdles have been second in the Supreme to Classical Dream and a win on a handicap of 151, a competitive grade three as well of 151. That's outstanding claims in a race like this. I think he deserves to go off pretty short and should win.
Okay, now let's get those all-important naps for tomorrow's racing then.
This will not be beaten.
We've kept you waiting for these. Connor, I'll let you go first.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Fujimoto Flyer in the 150 at Kempton. I just think she's going to win.
Fingers crossed. I'm with you there, Connor. I'll go with you next, Keith.
Well, I was tempted by Fujimoto Flyer. If there's one that's going to win, I think it might be her. But Connor, what price is Financial Outcome in the Ira?
He's about 16 to 1.
Oh, live a little. That's the wrong price of the weekend. So I'll put him up.
Nice. 16 to 1 about a nap. DJ, Adrien de Pont for you?
I was tempted, like there's three of them there, Master Tommy Tucker, Elgin and Adrien de Pont that I really like. But I think 3 to 1 Elgin is more than fair. So Elgin 225 Kempton 3 to 1 with Paddy Power.
Okay, brilliant. It sounds like you want to be chucking all those selections into some sort of multiple, aren't you, Keith? Right, that's all we've got time for today. Let us know who you're fancying this weekend in the comments, rate, review and subscribe as per usual, and I'll see you again on Monday.
I'm Jose Mourinho. I know a thing or two about being special. Getting a road named after you in your hometown, special. Winning the daily jackpot on Paddy Power games, not special.
Understood, Jose. Yes, someone wins an average £40,000 jackpot every single day. So if you win, don't think you're special. Daily jackpots by Paddy Power Games. Jackpots must be awarded by 11 p.m. and vary from day to day. Jackpot is shared with other operators, available on selected games. T's and C's at paddypower.com. 18+ BeGambleAware.org.